Father, lead us tonight as we look into your word. Give us words to speak and give us hearts to understand and ears to hear. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. We're talking about yes buts, we could say. You say to people, well, God wants to heal everybody. Yes, but what about? Well, we've looked at some of those what abouts. And so tonight we're going to look at Exodus chapter 15. We'll just start in verse 1. The story here is that they've just left Egypt and they have escaped. The pursuing army was drowned by the Lord, and now they're celebrating. And I just want to read a little bit of this to see how quickly people can change. Exodus 15:1 says, "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider are thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He's my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him." And they just sang, and there's all kinds of words here. Verse 10 says, "You blew with your wind, the sea covered them, and they sank like lead in the mighty waters." Verse 13 says, "You and your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation." Verse 17 says, "You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever." I mean, they're excited. They're thankful. They're grateful. Now let's jump down to verse 22. "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah." And the people had changed their song. "And the people complained against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And so he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet." So that's obviously a type of the cross, this wooden tree. You know, the Bible says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So this is a type of the cross, a type of healing that comes from Jesus. It says, "There he made a statute and an ordinance for them." Well, we know that the word statute and ordinance mean the same thing. In fact, the word translated statute here is also translated ordinance 9 times. So that's really not what it's saying. Better translation is, he made them a statute and a judgment or a decree. And it's translated judgment 296 times. So that's a better translation. And it says, "And there he tested them." Now, they failed the test. The test was to see would they trust him or would they murmur and complain. Well, they failed. And so he gave them this statute and this judgment or this decree. And what was this decree and this statute that he made? Well, he says, "If you will listen diligently or heed diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, do what's right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all of his statutes, if you will do these things," latter part of verse 26, "I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and so they camped there by the water. So they went from the not so good to something quite excellent, 12 wells of water. What I want to look at is he says, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." And that word "I" is emphatic in the Hebrew. In other words, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now, to me, that's one of the greatest, most unequivocal scriptures in the Bible. That's as plain to me as Acts 10:38, where it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He said, "I am the Lord your healer." But part of this verse has been a roadblock to some. It's never been a roadblock to me, but I can understand why that it might be to some. So let's look at the first part of this. Most Bibles say, "I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians." Now, in that verse, the word "put none," or the phrase, that's emphatic also. He was emphatic in saying none. None of these diseases. It says in the King James, "I will put none of the diseases which I have brought on the Egyptians." The word "put" and "brought" are identically the same word in the Hebrew. So it could say, "I will put none, and none of those that I put on the Egyptians are brought." Now, the origin of the putting, the making, that word is translated "make" and "set" and "lay." Obviously, there was diseases that had come upon the Egyptians at different times. But the origin of how they got there, the putting, the making, the bringing, is not God. You say, "Yes, but it says I." Well, if you were to look in the Hebrew, now you got to understand, Bible translators all have their ideas. And if you look in the Hebrew, you will find that the word "I" is not there. In that verse, in the King James and in most translations, you have three "I's." "I will put," "I have brought," "I am the Lord." Really, the only "I" there is "I am the Lord your healer." The other two "I's" were added by the translators because they thought God brought sickness. Somebody brought sickness. They didn't know it was the devil. They may not even believe in the devil. So if you don't believe in the devil, it has to be God. Amen? But the "I" is not there. Now, God said sickness came upon the Egyptians, but he did not say it came from him. He did not say he was the origin of it. He did not say he was the giver of it. That word, "put" and "brought," is found 586 times in the Bible. Now, I didn't count them. I have books that do that. But I did look at them all and tried to, without spending a great deal of time, I tried to just see how many times the word "I" was there. And out of 586 times, the translators added "I" 13. So the other 570 times, it's just "put" or "brought," not saying who did. Well, we know who did, don't we? Yeah. We know it wasn't God. God does not put sickness on, he takes it off. God does not lay sickness, he removes it. God does not bring sickness, he brings healing. Here's really a good translation of that verse, or a good definition. Description: God is simply saying all those diseases which were put or set or laid on the Egyptians won't come on you, for I am the Lord who heals you. Nowhere in the Hebrew text does it give an indication of the origin of the sickness. And we're not going to accuse God. Amen? Because we have other scriptures. And, you know, if God didn't go about, you know, Jesus said a house divided against itself can't stand. God doesn't give sickness and healing both. Now, let's be very clear about something else. God gave them four orders to avoid opening the door for Satan to put sickness on him. He said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, do that which is right, give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes. So they were told they had to do four things. If they don't do those four things, guess what? They're going to get sick. Amen. You know, you can have the finest car in the world, but you better stop at the gas station once in a while. Amen? It isn't going to run without gas. And you're not going to be in disobedience and rebellion and walk in divine health. It's not going to happen.